Greetings and salutations, everyone, and welcome to another episode of To The Top Talk, brought to you by Mugshots Grill and Bar. To The Top Talk is the original and longest-running Southern Miss podcast in the market. We are recording this episode on
May the 7th.
From beautiful Hattiesburg, Mississippi, here as always with your break from the High Resource 5 propaganda to talk a little Southern Miss athletics. I'm your host, Jason Bailey. Joining me now, the one and only Patrick Lowry.
What's up, brother?
It's a good day. Played a little golf. Took a day off of work. It's always a good day. And as the listeners will see in just a second, we're going to get to the main attraction. But today's episode is brought to you by Mugshots in Hattiesburg, the South's premier sports grill and bar. And it all started right here in Hattiesburg 20 years ago. And Mugshots, they're always having a good time. Happy hour specials daily with 18 specialty burgers. They've got you covered. Go see our good friends at Mugshots in Hattiesburg today. Mugshots, delivering craveable food and personalized hospitality to friends and family in a place obsessed with sports. Now, what happened since the last time we recorded? Well, we went live one time and had to kind of figure some stuff out. I think we have that figured out.
Yeah, we do. We're a little bit better prepared today.
Later on tonight. Thank you for your patience on that. Baseball had a big series versus Coastal Carolina at the Pete. We found out that a certain fan favorite on the baseball team is a finalist for the Ferris Trophy. That was announced today. Softball was back in action. Mm-hmm. My 7 and 8 year old team Mugshots damn near pulled off a miracle against the College Hunks the other night. Lost 8-7 on a walk off, but you know, we played our little hearts out. And we booked a very awesome guest. Drum roll, please. And here he is now. Southern Miss head basketball coach, Jay Ladner.
I like it.
Coach, we have some new bells and whistles in there. You just got to, you know, just go with it.
Good crowd in the studio, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, they're going crazy.
Great crowd in the studio. Good both style. Of them. So, Coach, first of all, thank you for agreeing to do this tonight. I know you get pulled in a million different directions, but every time we've asked, Coach has said, I'm in. So we really appreciate it.
Really, first of all, I like you two guys and consider y'all friends. Secondly, never try to turn down an opportunity to speak, promote the university and, of course, the basketball program. So I appreciate y'all having me on here. Great honor.
Awesome. And lots of stuff going on right now, Coach. Recruiting, Reed Green Coliseum renovations are on tap. But first off, how is your health? And can you elaborate on maybe what happened
and
how you've been doing?
Yeah, well thank you very much, Bunk, for asking. And I want to say this, and I've tried to say it at every opportunity. I have just been so humbled and overwhelmed with so many people praying for me and well wishers and continuing to ask I'm very, very thankful. I can't even really express how humbled I've been by all the well wishes, and it has been a little bit emotionally overwhelming at times when you kind of sit back and think about it. But to answer I'm very grateful. So everybody that's listening tonight, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I feel a little bit closer to normal every day. I've actually began a more serious exercise routine last week. I've, of course, needed to drop a little weight. I've been able to do that, but it was a really, really scary situation. Really didn't have any prior history, didn't have any symptoms that I was aware of, I was never like short of breath or chest hurting or anything like that, and of course early one morning I began to have some chest pains, and I initially thought it was just some maybe some gas or reflux. Mm-hmm. and it just got worse and worse and worse. And of course, then it developed into some of the classic symptoms, really, really cold sweat, like the coldest I've ever had, nauseated, jaw hurting real bad, pain radiating down to my wrist. And of course, and it would not, there was no relief of it. It just got worse and worse. And my pride about got me. If it wasn't for my wife, Jennifer, I would not be here today. I promise you. Because first of all, she knew something was wrong. She wanted me to go, get the ambulance to come in our neighborhood. And of course, you know where I live. And mm-hmm. pride got me. I said, man, I'm not doing that. Have that thing drive through to the house and everybody looking out their, you know, doors like, what in the heck's going on over there? You know, and coming out on a gurney. So I didn't, you know, I refused to do that. But after about five more minutes of it, and the pain intensifying, getting worse and worse, I relented and let her drive me down to Forest General. Thank goodness for the folks there. They were awesome. Of course, I was already having the heart attack. And as I walked in, I went into what they call V-fib. I did not know any of these terms before the heart attack. But when you go into V-fib, basically your heart's you got about 60 seconds to live. And the only thing that will correct that is the defibrillator. So I lost consciousness, she said, went gray. They hit me with the defibrillators. That kind of stabilized me. My cardiologist, of course, I didn't have a cardiologist, but Dr. Wilkins here in town, we've got great medical, as y'all know, we've got blessed to have two great medical systems here in town. So, but had I been anywhere out there, I mean, there were thousands and thousands of scenarios that I would not have been around a defibrillator. And I mean, we could have been traveling, but we've just gotten off a 2-week road trip. I could have been in a hotel room. I mean, I could have had all kind of things. So the Lord's got had wasn't quite ready for me. Probably needs to cleanse my soul a little bit. So he got me back over here to give me a second chance to, you know, another funny, and I say a funny thing, it's not funny, but people have asked me since, did you have some kind of near death experience? Did you see the lights? And I'll be honest with you, I didn't see any fire or anything either though. I'm not sure where I was, but anyway, but thank you very much for asking. And I feel a lot closer to normal. And as I said, beginning last Monday, I was kind of cleared to start ramping up my exercise a little bit. And all my follow-up visits have been very, very good, and I've had a great report. So very blessed to be here today. So thanks for asking. That's kind of my update.
Yeah, well, you gave us quite a scare. You know, my dad went through something very similar, and had tons of scenarios where he could no longer be with us either. But I'll tell you this, the hard thing now, Coach, is that they fixed it all. Yeah. And he was already more active than me, and now we can't slow him down.
Well, you know, my cardiologist told me that. He said, now it'll take a couple of months to get over the trauma, get your body adjusted, because, of course, they do put you on a number of different medicines that I've never been on before. And they said, but once you do that, you're going to start feeling better. You're going to start feeling better. And I have. I really think that I'm I feel better. I feel like I have more energy. I'm looking forward to enjoying, I'm 58 years old, looking to enjoy 58 more.
Yeah. Awesome. Same thing happened to my dad as well. Like, it happened to him, and now he plays golf 4 days a week and is in the best health of his life, lost 40 pounds. And
yeah, he beats Pilo every time out.
Amen. you know,
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah. You know, they say that, I'll just kind of, I guess, tagging onto that, the amount of people that I've run into since then. I mean, everywhere I go, it seems like it's so common, you know, like, yeah, my dad or me or whatever. Yeah. I had a stent put in. I had two stents put in. I had open heart surgery, whatever. I mean, it's amazing how many people, and I guess it's just a product of our maybe society or what we, you know, what we all eat growing up, you know. And gosh knows, I'm missing my Popeyes, man. I'm Popeyes gold card member, you know. But anyway, but it's amazing to me how many people have gone through it. But also a credit to like our progress with in the medical techniques and so forth, how they can save so many people now. I guess back in the day, those people used to die, you know. But it's amazing. It really is. So.
Well, let's get into some basketball, Patrick. Yeah. You got some. You want to hit us with some recruiting talk?
Yeah. So I know, and then we talked about this, you know, before we hopped on, but we've had some recent signings. We're going to hit those. Christian Watson, 6'7" forward. Alfred Worrell, 6'3" guard. The name Southern Miss Nation will know in Denaje Harris.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Glad to have him back. And D'Antoni Gordon. I'm probably
D'Antoni Gordon.
There we go.
You're right.
Wichita State and John Wade.
Yep. You know, of course, I can now talk about all those guys because they've all been cleared by compliance. And
great.
Y'all, to say that how excited I am about this group. Of course, we signed four younger players. And it, as we kind of educate the fan base a little bit, kind of how this works, we're going to have a large turnover. It's going to be – there's a paradigm shift in recruiting now. Mm-hmm. Used to, you know, the model before NIL and the transfer portal. And what we really mean by the transfer portal is before you were able to just kind of go to a different school every single year, you know, and you had to actually sit out and, you know, it was very rare for a player to transfer. And I've put it like this in several times. I was very blessed. I was not a very good college player myself, but I played with some really good players, and I played on one of the iconic teams at Southern Miss and really in Mississippi history, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And in our recruiting class in 1984, you had Derek Hamilton and John White and Casey Fisher and Randolph Keys. And then you had this fifth guy, you know, that didn't make much of a mark. but the other four sure as heck did. But the days of the – and in 1984, we won seven games. But they were all freshmen. And Coach Turk went to – he knew we had something special. Of course, we took a lump, took some lumps. The next year, we won 16, made the NIT. At 16 and 14, we made the NIT, played Florida in the NIT, and then, of course, the following year in 87, we won it, and then in 88, we ended up going, getting as high as 13th in the country in the AP poll. Of course, we got upset a few times late and faded got into the NIT when we really should have been a good NCAA, made a good NCAA tournament team, but we didn't take care of our business and finish. But my point is we're not going to have the days of those type teams coming in as freshmen and then finishing and having a lot of success. I'm afraid are over with. I'm afraid they're over with at Southern Miss, and I think they're over with anywhere. Even your mm-hmm. your blue blood programs are having a turnover, and it has to do with the rules. And it's sad. It's not. I don't think it's good for our sport, but it is the hand that we've all been dealt. And of course, we've got to adjust. So in the fall, kind of fast forward to this year, in the fall, we actually, you know, I saw a lot of people would comment, we don't even have any freshmen on the team. You know, what are we going to do in the future? Well, most likely those freshmen, you know, if you sign high school guys, you don't get a lot of time to, everybody wants to win now. And again, you're not, you have to be very strategic about getting a high school player. And of course, we signed three in the fall. Mm-hmm. But we knew in the spring, and three good ones, but we knew in the spring that we wanted to get and needed to get transfer portal guys. And so either transfer portal Division I players with Division I experience, older players, and some junior college players. And so we would be old. I like staying old. I mean, I like being old, and we've been old the last 2 years, and we're going to continue to stay old. The difference is we've got some young talent coming in here, and our challenge will be to make sure we keep those guys in our focus. I think they can be really good. So what you saw us do was sign some high school players in the early period, and we got some really good high school players. Maybe because of the rules, you can go get some high level high school players. We were able to do that in the fall, so we accomplished what we needed to in the fall. And in the spring period, we were able to sign, like I said, some older, more experienced guys. Individually, Denaje Harris, and these are in no particular order. Denaje Harris is, of course, I think a player who really exemplifies Southern Miss is the guy. He was Denijah will be playing his seventh year of eligibility. I know.
That's a lot.
It's unbelievable. He was here with Coach Sadler. Denijah's first year at Southern Miss.
Holy smokes. Sadler.
That's how far Denijah goes back. And wow. But I thought he should. Of course, he had an injury that year, real severe knee injury. The following year, which was my first year, he was not recovered, so he got a medical red shirt. The following year after that, he had a, of course, COVID hit. So That's how he's ended up with a seventh year of eligibility. But I thought, you know, Denijah averaged almost 10 points a game for us. He can guard every position. He looks incredible physically. He's gotten continued to work on his body. He's big and strong. And what y'all are going to be very surprised about is a credit to his work ethic. While he was here, we had to kind of restructure his shot mechanically. And one of his shortcomings was he wasn't able to shoot the basketball very well from the perimeter. You're going to be really, really surprised. His shot looks natural. He looked great. And he looks like an all-league player. He's highly motivated. And I mean, we're just tickled to death to get him back. But to have a 6'7" former starter here back in the fold, playing his seventh year of eligibility, I just think gives us a great advantage. And he's such a great young man. And when I tell you that, and I maybe not would have taken a player back that left our program, but he left the right way. He left with a lot of class, publicly thanked the university. He just said, you know, when he came in to see me before he got into the transfer portal, of course, was being offered a lot of money by a lot of schools. Of course, he ended up in Arkansas. He said that, you know, he had been here for 5 years. He had just graduated. You know, like any kid, he wanted to see what it was like to go to the SEC and play. But what was really cool is he got an experience. He experienced that. He saw that hey, there's a lot of great things happening at Southern Miss and that he felt part of. And he of course, wanted to come back. So we welcome him back with open arms and glad to have him. A number of other, and I'm just going to get into some of our newer faces that – y'all are, I just could not be, again, can't be more excited about this group. Christian Watson, 6'7" guard. We'll project him in kind of the AC role for this year. But 6'7", top, or he's a 4-star recruit. He played in the famous Catholic League in Washington, D.C., which is the best with DeMatha and all the high school powers. He played in that league coming out of high school. Played a good bit at Miami. It wasn't like he was just sitting over there on the side. I mean, we're watching film, and he's out there and deep in the game against North Carolina and, you know, those kind of people. So that's who he was playing on a nightly basis. Can really shoot it and score it, athletic. Very well, one of the best players that we've signed since I've been here. DeAnthony Gordon, another outstanding player. He's from Mobile. Of course, he's got a strong connection to Nick Williams, our assistant. Nick's from Mobile, as y'all may know. He actually played for Nick when Nick was an assistant coach up at Northwest Community College and has had a great run at the University of Arkansas Little Rock. Averaging between 12 and 15 points a game, a lot of rebounds, really knows how to play, skilled, really, really good player. I think another guy that's got a chance to be all league. Let's make sure that we're moving through this. We've talked about Christian. We've talked about DeAnthony. A young man named John Wade. John Wade is from the Napa Valley area. I when he was on his visit, I was giving us, man, you must be a rich guys. That's all us old boys from Mississippi go to Napa Valley. That's where they have all the wine and stuff. All the rich people I know get to go out to Napa Valley on vacation and stuff. And anyway, he kind of laughed. But our connection to him is through a Southern Miss connection, to be honest with you. Billy Reed, who was an assistant coach under Coach Eustacy, now is in law enforcement, works for the DA's office out in Oakland, in the San Francisco area, Bay Area, I guess to say. He is a coach called me about him last summer. It was real late. We did not have a scholarship available. And as he ended up going because he had an academic issue and he ended up having to go D2, but we kept an eye on him this year. And when he hit the transfer portal, we jumped all of him. This is a 6'5", quick, athletic guard that can really score it, and got a chance to be a really, really good player for us. I like our returning players.
Mm-hmm.
Just having these guys, these five right here, you could put a good team out there on the floor. But John will be coming in, and again, he's a combo guard. He'll play some two, and he'll play some one. Can play the three even because of his size. And that's another thing. All of them, if you know, have all of them. Denaje 6'7". Christian Watson 6'7". DeAnthony Gordon 6'7". 6'8". John Wade 6'5". You know, the great size. And the last of the spring signing class is Alfred Worrell. Alfred, a 6'4 guard, another player. He and Christian Watson are very close friends. He played in that Catholic League out of Washington, D.C. as well. And he's coming from John A. Logan. He was a top 50 junior college player in the country this year. Can really, really shoot it. I mean, can really shoot it. Deep range. Shoots it like Casey Fisher used to cook. And for those of you that – y'all are so young, but that could really remember he was really rangeless. So that's our five guys that we signed here in the local period. And to kind of give you an idea about that, we had a period of about 9 straight days of 6 consecutive official visits. And I thought to myself going into it, like a player would come in, he'd stay for basically a day and a half or so. He would be leaving, flying out. Another one would be coming in, arriving. Another one. I mean, we were back and forth to the airports and picking up, dropping off, getting them out. And I thought to myself, I said, if we could just sign, knowing the level of these guys, I said, if we could sign 3 of the 6, it will have been a major, major victory for Southern Miss. Well, we ended up signing the first 5, and there's a 6 that I can't count on that will make his decision this weekend. All I will tell you that is he is Clarence Weatherspoon like.
Ooh, there we go.
He's different than any of the players that we just talked about. He's a different kind of player and a different player than we have on the roster. We're right there. Of course, we're fighting some big boys in there, Kansas State and Texas A&M and Cincinnati and some folks like that. But we're right there. And so we'll know this weekend he's going to make his – I know we're a finalist. He's called and told me that. And of course, he'll make his decision this weekend. And so anyway, we're really excited. Of course, let me go back. And of course, you're going to see some familiar faces. Neftali Alvarez, of course, is back. Andre Cabello is back. We need some more consistency from Dre. I think he knows that. He and I have had a chance to really spend some time this spring, but he's certainly a great talent. Mm-hmm. Kobe Montgomery's back. Of course, Tegra Izze, who's worked hard in this offseason. And, you know, Tegra had some moments last year where he was very effective. He had some other moments that I think he would be the first to tell you were a little frustrating, but he's gotten himself in great condition. But to give Tegra, I don't like making excuses, but, you know, he had a wrist on his hand. He had a broken wrist.
That's right.
And he didn't get that wrist off until about 3 weeks before the regular season started last year. So he really missed almost all of the fundamental work, conditioning, strength training, all in the summer that he really needed. His body is in great shape right now, the best he has ever been in. Of course, Tony Bratovsky, our strength and conditioning coach, does just an amazing job of getting our guys in great physical condition. And our players will tell you that too. They really buy into his program, and he does a wonderful job. So anyway, a lot of good things happening. Lee Biatt, Jeff Armstrong, a lot of familiar faces coming back, but a lot of new blood coming in and very talented young men.
That sounds awesome. I can't wait. And another thing that I've been looking forward to, which who knows, it might be helping out with some of this recruiting. The plans were the renderings for the plans were dropped for Reed Green Coliseum renovation. I didn't think I would see it in my lifetime, you know. But, you know, I mean, what do you know about the whole thing? What do you think about it? What are you most excited about?
Well, you know, I try to always be transparent. You know, about maybe I don't even know if it was a week. It was just a couple of days after I had the good fortune of being able to return home and as the head coach at Southern Miss, they announced of this tax that was going to be at the restaurants and the hotels that was going to fund this renovation. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, almost to the day, it was just within a week or so of the announcement, probably our AD Jeremy McClain made last Wednesday, nothing, you didn't see anything, you know? And so gosh, everywhere I would go and speak at engagements and so forth, they would, coach, when are they going to do something on Coliseum? I think people had begun to get frustrated. And if y'all remember, there was also a announcement and rendering a number of years ago, I think when Coach Hugh Stacy was here, of what they were going to do to the Coliseum and it was going to be redone and nothing ever happened.
Right.
And I think people began to kind of think maybe that's what was what was going on again. But I think Jeremy McClain's leadership style is different. He wanted to make sure that we had all the funding in place, that everything was ready to go. Is it a little bit longer than maybe everybody would have hoped? Absolutely. But that arena was built in 1965 for all other than where the present coaches' offices are, Pat and Bump, you know, that everything's exactly the same. And I kid with everybody. In fact, I've got to get with the contractor start over there, because I want some of those urinals, and maybe we can make us another spot like Nick's Ice House.
Yeah.
Because those urinals, whichever company made those in the men's restroom at Reed Green Coliseum, those were good American-made products, because those were 60 years old and they were still operating and functioning just like they did in 1965. That's American craftsmanship and pride in their work. I mean, that was amazing. And but everything else was the same, you know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize kind of how far behind we were until I'd gone to all the other arenas. And I mean, it was a glaring difference, and we were not on an equal playing field. And not only were they were already ahead of us, they were getting better and better. So the timing could not have been better, but I think that the Jeremy and the people that are in the planning of this, look, let's face it, Reed Green Coliseum, we have one of the greatest home court advantages in the country. We have the best winning percentage, home court winning percentage the last 2 years in our league. We had one of the longest home court winning streaks in the country in Division I before we got beat. So we have a very unique aura in the Coliseum. And what's really cool is that they did a good job of taking and kind of retaining that, but also adding all the extra amenities and modern amenities that we need to make that a much better fan experience. So it's the atrium and the entrance, the centralized entrance on coming from 4th Street facing the baseball park, is going to be something about, it's going to kind of look, it'll look like from the outside, a new edifice, a new arena, the south side entrance. Of course, you're going to walk right into a mezzanine club area, you know, and with chairs and tables, you know, to look over. And then, you know, the concourses will be double and triple size. It'll have all the modern electronics and you know, ribbon, electronic ribbon, scoreboards. It's going to be really, really cool, but also still have that same feel. And of course, y'all both know probably by now that the seats will come all the way down from where, like, behind the home and visitors bench, there's going to be seats right on top of that. Of course, that's not going to bode well for our visitors because they are already catching heck over there. And then, of course, on the other side, it'll take up that open space. And, you know, one of the interesting things about it, I thought that because it seemed like we were adding more seats closer to the floor. And of course, the roughly 8,000, 8,100 was capacity, but we're going to lose about 700 or 800 seats, really, because to widen the concourses, they're going to remove about the top two rows, I think, of the bleachers, you know, around the top of the bowl. So anyway, it couldn't have come at a better time. I think our timing of having a very strong recruiting class, combined with the things that are going to be happening here over the next 24 months, starting this month with the roof, new practice facility. That's an area, you know, people don't understand this. And some people, the negative Nancy's out there probably don't care, but you know, we don't have a practice facility. So when we would have graduation, like is happening this week, you know, our players are out, they don't have anywhere to go, you know, they have to just go hustle a basket or a court somewhere. But during the Christmas graduation, the Coliseum's out for 7 or 8 days. We have to go to William Carey. They have a practice facility, and we would have to go over there. And, you know, and it was a huge inconvenience. And to be honest with you, it was kind of embarrassing that we would have to go. And thank goodness we have a great relationship with Coach Knight and the folks across town, and they've been great partners with us and helped us. But it was kind of embarrassing that we were having to ask an NAIA school to use their practice facility, and we didn't have one. You know, it'd be like our baseball team getting kicked up, you know, not having, okay, well, hey, y'all can't use the baseball field because we're going to be hosting a fair, and y'all got to go practice at Hattiesburg High or Oak Grove, or just go figure it out. That's kind of what we were faced with. And then of course our opponents would just beat the snot out of us. Man, they're not serious about basketball. They don't even have a practice facility, you know, an alternate facility to go to when you can't have the Coliseum. And the last thing I'll comment on that, I grew up here in Hattiesburg, and you know, I my first concert was 1981, Cool in the Game, you know. Yeah. And that was at Reed Green, and all these stars and everything. We had great shows there. And of course, over time, because of the facility, they quit coming in there. And of course, we let the Coast and the Biloxi Coliseum get built. And we didn't, it's still surprising to me that the leadership back in that time, and not the university leadership, but the civic leadership, did not see the need for that. And how many, y'all will attest this, but how many billions, you know, of dollars, sure, since 1977, since that arena was built on the Coast, of economic impact we lost because of the inability to have shows and concerts anymore. It was amazing. But hey, better late than never. It's exciting. They've done a great job, and very soon we're going to be, you know, it's going to be as nice as anybody's in our league. And then the ability also to serve the local community with shows and acts and musical concerts is going to be really, really neat too.
Yeah, no, I really can't imagine it. I say I look forward to it, but it's almost, I've been waiting for so long that it's
yeah, you're going to believe still, it when you see it.
Yeah,
right?
It still feels like I need to see some shovels in the ground, you know?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Coach, I hope one thing that we don't lose, because right now, for all its faults, when Reed Green's full, there's not a problem in the world, and it's loud. Even when it's not, when there's like 4,000 there, it feels just amplified. So I hope all the things that they put into it, that they've kept that in mind. We don't lose whatever it is, the acoustic wise, in there that helps that
noise. I don't think they're going to lose that at all. I really don't. I think they've done a great job of retaining the great aspects of it. And you know, back in to kind of show what Reed Green means to the other opponents that come in there. Like at the last year, right before the season, they have all the coaches and a few of the stars from each team in New Orleans, and they have a big media day. Mm-hmm, right. And one of the questions this year they would ask each of the players when it was our time to be on was, hey, what's the toughest place y'all play against? And of course, you're watching, you're kind of in the audience, and you're watching the other teams and schools up there. And it was amazing. Almost every single one of the Sun Belt Conference opponents would say Southern Miss, man, Hattiesburg, that play. You know, it was every single one of them would say that we had the toughest place to play in the league. And I'm very thankful to our fan base for that. And because I mean, my gosh, it gets loud in there. I mean, you got guys throwing hot dogs out on the floor and. You know, of course, I don't know if the officials like coming in there too much either. I mean, it's probably sometimes doesn't serve us too well because we get our way our fans get on them. But it's a lot of fun, and it's not something that's just happened. And that goes way, way back with the Rowdy Rail and the Dunk Corner, and of course, mm-hmm. our student sections is begun to come back now. So anyway, it's a lot of excitement and momentum with our basketball program right now.
Well, Patrick and I are always having fun over there in the G spot, Coach. You can make
sure of that. No doubt.
So, but we have kept you forever. Thank you so much for taking the time. Glad you're okay, first of all.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Glad you're healthy and really proud that you're our coach.
Hey, I'm so grateful to be the coach at Southern Miss. I really am, and work hard every day for guys like y'all that have hung in there with us and hung in there with us a couple years ago when the light wasn't as bright. And I tell you what, we are upset about. We do have a frown on our face. It's time for us to get that NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm tired of watching other people play in it when I know that we're as good, or you know, just, but we've got to go put it together and play better down in the conference tournament. And then but I like our team. And I tell you this, earlier today, I'll leave it at this. Earlier today, I get a, well, back up on those visits. Christian Watson and I told you Christian Watson and Alfred Worrell grew up playing together in high school. And right before they had not committed to us yet, on their visit, they said, Coach, can we talk to you privately? And because both of them had their moms with them. I said, absolutely. So the moms went out. They came in there and they said, Coach, we just want to tell you, we're going to come in here to win. Well, I knew at that point they were committing to us. Both of those guys texted me today from down in Miami and said, Coach, we're working our tail off. You get ready. We're going to be there in a couple of weeks. And we're going to NCAA tournament this year, because that was a big thing we were talking about. It's time for us to get in that NCAA tournament. So I love our attitude of our guys we got come in. And I like their talent level. It's not just about talking about it. But thank y'all for y'all's promotion of USM, your promotion of our great tradition of athletics and especially basketball. And thankful for y'all's support for us, for me personally. I really appreciate it.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for taking the time. And Southern Miss?
To the top.
Perfect. Thank you. Thanks, Coach. We're going to cut it.
Okay.
And we'll put it out tomorrow.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Coach.
Here we are.
No doubt.
All righty. Well, so for those of you that have already tuned in with us, we just got through with an interview that we did with Coach Jay Ladner, talking about just where he is health wise and some Re-Green Coliseum renovations and the new signings that we've had in the fall and the spring, the returners coming back. It was a great conversation that we really thought was going to go like 15 minutes. And dude is just so passionate about it.
Yeah.
That he keeps going and it's wonderful for an interviewer. It's great. It's like the least amount of prep that you ever have to do is with Coach.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, you don't, you may get two questions in that 30 minute span, but man, he just hits every single topic that we had prepared. It was perfect.
And I say that because we will release the pod, tomorrow, probably, I'm thinking.
Yep.
So the live will be a part of that pod, but the interview will be tacked onto the front of that. So even if you're listening right now, there's still more to the episode, probably the crux of the episode, is going to be that first little bit. I don't know. You never know. I don't want to say that right now. You got people like James who might call in.
He's already on the Twitter space.
That might chime in. Yeah. He is over in Atlanta, I think, watching some baseball tonight.
Okay.
Normal suspects on your attack Eagles might show up. You never know. The Hinkler, God forbid, might jump up in here. But so if anyone has any comments on that or anything else, Patrick, can you explain? I think we have it worked out now.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm going to throw up a banner here for those watching. So if you want to talk on the Twitter space, I mean, just because you request doesn't mean we're going to get exactly to you at that moment, but we will make time for that. But if you head over to Twitter, and there is a Twitter space. So we're live as well on Twitter, but there's also a Twitter space, and that is where you would request to join us. And
you can also still do the text thing or the comment through Facebook and all that.
Yeah, comments still work. We can throw that up there. But if you do want to speak and your voice to be heard, we should have that ironed out tonight.
Right. So, and you know, I feel like basketball's on my mind now because we just got done talking to Coach. But huge series this past weekend, and it got me thinking: are we good now, baseball wise? I mean, we went from super high expectations, probably unrealistic high expectations at the beginning of the year, just because of what we've done the last couple of years in particular, and really the last, I don't know, 20, 25 or so. Tons of preseason hype. So we went from like having these expectations to all the hype to it's taking longer than I thought it was to put it all together. And then we hit maybe we're just not very good. You know what? We're okay. We might win 30, are we back? That was next. Is that the whole range of emotions? And now it's like, damn it. Are we good again? Are we back? So where are we at? Longest 30 win streak in the country right now. 40 still not out of the picture.
Yeah.
You know, and again, a roller coaster of emotions with the, you know, will we host to, damn it, you know, we're not even going to make it to the tournament, to maybe we squeak in as a 3 seed out of reputation, to, I don't know, 2 seed and maybe an outside shot at hosting. So again, that's how the season's gone. It, for me, anyways, and I think for a lot of other people, specifically the people that I talk to a lot out in the roost, we tend to wear the emotions on the sleeves out there. And but I mean, did I hit on them on all the emotions, Pete?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you nailed it. It's definitely been a roller coaster. I think we've been from like we're going to be awesome to maybe we're not, and then we're okay, just accept it. We're just not that good to, are we back to just getting to, to all those emotions. I think we've hit, it's been up and down, but like, I really feel like the ball that we've played this weekend, to have, you know, like, Coastal score like in the top half of innings and us come back and score right back was just really good to see. You know, when we never get down, I was really encouraged by the play.
Finally saw some fight. We were kind of wondering who the leaders were going to be. Wondering who was going to step into that role, and a bunch of them have. I think, you know, so some of them that we knew from before, like Slade, right? He's really stepped up. What's it, 21 games? Oh, man. Clutch now,
all weekend. Yeah.
He's really been tattooing the ball. And guys like Pato, we need a big – I mean, all the names that we're mentioning. And this is all with Billy Butler kind of still being dinged up, right?
Right.
Davis Gillespie, goodness gracious. Does that guy ever just hit like a soft line drive? You know?
No.
Even when he gets out, it's a laser.
I think you kind of saw it with that one at bat this weekend. He comes up and then the coach is like four. I'm like, put him on base. Like, we're not letting that guy hit a bomb. You know, I love to see that. So to have a guy like that feared in your lineup that's not you know, all the names that we name normally. So like to have a new guy kind of rise up into a feared role is awesome.
Baseball is sitting at 31-17, 15-9 in the league. And we haven't updated this the entire season, but this is the time of the year where everybody all of a sudden becomes an expert on terms like RPI, and strength of schedule. And then there's all these projections that go everywhere. And I jotted a couple of them down. Number one, our RPI right now is at 42, according to Warren Nolan. That might have changed since I wrote it down 3 or 4 hours ago, because right. It's all about what you did versus, and then the other teams, did they win and they lose? And I think Coastal played tonight, and I know that they were rolling earlier. The game might be over. I'm not positive, but that'll probably have some sort of effect on our RPI in a good way, I would think, since they beat somebody. Strength of schedule is at 49. And a couple of the projections that I've seen, I saw one where we were in Starkville, or maybe a couple where we were in Starkville. Greenville, North Carolina is an interesting one that mm-hmm. had, of course, East Carolina, former conference mate there, and always a great rival, hosting. And then they had Samford, Wake Forest, and Southern Miss.
Yep.
You know, it's that would be a very interesting regional. I think that a lot of Southern Miss fans would be interested in making that trip, or at least watching it.
Yeah, the other one that's like, for some reason, I just want to make a comment here. Mm-hmm. I'm looking. It looks like there may be an issue with Twitter tonight on StreamYard, our platform that we use, as far as making comments. So that's why I was wondering why we haven't had a lot of comments pop in here yet. It seems like the majority of our viewers right now are on there. I can see those, but if you do want to chat, like we said before, hop into this Twitter space, which is different than the live, you'll still be able to hear the live. You can't see us, obviously, but you will be able to hear it. And then if you want to, just request to join us. So it's not us tonight, unfortunately.
Okay. Is there any other way to
yeah, they can comment on Facebook or YouTube. That is great.
So. Okay, if anybody can go over there and just try that out, just so we can make sure. This is the second time through.
Yeah.
Third time might be a charm.
us, though. But the first time it was 100%. I don't know what I'm doing because this board was brand new. But it seems to be a StreamYard issue tonight, so I will investigate.
Gotcha. Well, another one of the projected regionals that Southern Miss might be a part of, which, first of all, let's just talk mm-hmm. about being in the projections.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of us saw that happening even as early as probably 3 weeks ago mm-hmm. or a month ago. We hoped that we would be there, but we were kind of, are we going to hit that streak? And we saw the schedule looked a little bit favorable this past weekend. I didn't think it was on that favorable side. But it turned out really well. But another one of the projections I've seen is in Tallahassee. That would be Florida State hosting Mississippi State there, Southern Miss, mm-hmm. and Florida A&M. So that that's a place where Southern Miss has been a few times. It's not that far away. It's a lot closer than Greenville, North Carolina.
Hey, we do.
So
thank you, Crazy Eagle.
Okay, good. So I'm assuming he came through.
And James Johnson as well said he can hear us just fine. So good to know.
And that's all on Facebook, right?
Well, no, that was both. Those were both from Twitter. So maybe I was incorrect on my Twitter not working.
Great. Got it. Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Well, so, you know, either one of those regions, you know, hey, let's just get to one.
I know Sutton and I had that conversation out in the roost at one point. We go from hosting, you know, back-to-back supers to getting to a point to where we just want to limp into one. And I feel like we would be the most dangerous 3 or 4 seed that could possibly get into a regional. And now, you know, like I said, it's as you continue to win more late, you know, we're seeing all kind of scenarios.
Yeah, what other scenarios are going to pop up? Maybe you follow this more closely than I do as far as the projections go, but I mentioned that there's an outside chance at hosting. I mean, is that completely gone? Or, I mean, if we do just get on the ultimate heater, you swept last week, you sweep another time or two, you win five of the next six and, you know, make it to the championship game. Do any of those scenarios play out with the outside shot at hosting?
I think our fans would really love to see it. Mm-hmm.
I heard a ding.
Yep.
Is that a caller?
No, that was a sensor. That was a joke. You were a little slow on the sensor button. Yeah, we have that ability too, so watch out.
Gotcha. So let's talk about the series that happened this past weekend. It was lots of fun. I had so much fun that I'm super happy we don't have a midweek this week. Number one, because our pitching, I feel like we need a break. Nick needs a break. Nick got that knee to the hip, which completely looked dirty to me.
Oh man, gross.
But just personally, that's 3 days in a row of perfect weather in the roost. I'm not in my 20s anymore, right?
It catches up with you quickly.
It takes some minutes off my life, I think. But game one versus Coastal, we won this game 7-2. It was a solid crowd on hand at the Pete, which there always is, but the announce was 5,355. Billy Oldham got the start.
Man.
Again, start. I mean, what else? I'm looking at the line here, but I mean, just absolutely shoved again. And what else can you say about this guy? He takes the ball. He's like, guys, jump on, and I'm going to do all that I can. So he goes 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 11 Ks, 106 pitches. And then Sivley comes in and does what he can do as the first in relief a lot of times. And he finished it off. So 2 innings pitch, 0 hits, 0 runs, 2 walks, 2 Ks, look great. Hitting, it's coming around. I guess we don't want to fire Creel anymore. 15 hits on the day. Ballgame hit a homer. I know, right? Where'd they go? Why are you mad?
Why are you mad?
6 Golden Eagles with multiple hits. D-Mac goes 3-for-5 with 3 runs scored, setting the table. Ozzie Mr. Pratt, Automatic. 2-for-5. Is he on a heater?
Man, love that out of the 2-hole.
He had a double as well. Davis Gillespie, 3-for-5. If I had to pick one guy who I like watching hit, he's the guy. Yeah. I hope that my 7-year-old Jack watches him hit. I'm going to do what that guy. I'm going to try to do what Davis Gillespie does.
Well, it reminds me of Tiger Woods. You remember that people were asking him about Charlie and his rise, and he's like, "Yeah, I tell him not to swing like me. I want him to swing like Rory McIlroy does."
If you have to pick between me and Davis Gillespie, then there's now for fielding the ball. Fielding the ball might be able to hold him out, but Monastere goes 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs. Russo goes 2-for-4. Another leader, a quiet leader that we're all hoping would do it,
man,
and he kind of has, right?
Yeah, no, he brings that like he is that guy to me. He's really emerged as that Southern Miss guy, like a Kevin Coker. Energy can breathe life into the team, and when we have a big play or need a big play, it's like he pumps that into the rest of the lineup and. I love it, man. I cannot get enough of that kid.
Very good. So the first game was over with, and we were feeling pretty good. And I think coming into the series, I thought both teams, we might even mention this on the pod last week, that both teams needed a series victory and possibly a sweep.
Sure.
Just the way the season was going, just because both teams were relatively higher RPI, it was going to be that high quad win. And I wasn't sure if we could pull it off. I felt good about where we were, but we've had a phobia of sweeping the entire season. Coastal's good. We've watched them play on TV. We saw them win the Natty a few years ago. We see their facilities, and they got swept the weekend before. It's like, what in the world are the chances?
They're going to come in here ticked off.
Yeah, I mean, not a middling Southern Miss team, but not hitting on all cylinders. Having a team pissed off coming in that would get swept once again, and as we'll see that happen, but. So game two, 7-3 victory, another awesome starting pitching effort, another good crowd, just over 5,400 people in attendance. Hitting-wise, had a 5-run third inning that was really fun, included a Wilkes single and a Pato 3-run shot.
Yeah, yo.
There they go. Oh, is that a Pato shot?
Yeah,
Pato buzzer. What should do one of these? Or does he do this? Should. It's that. Is that
yeah,
in it?
Yeah, it's like yeah, an I love you thing. Yeah.
Yeah. What did I do? The hang loose?
Yeah.
Either way.
A little bit of Hawaii there.
I mean, that's a double. That's a double. only 2 Eagles with multiple hits, but one of them was Ozzie Pratt. Like I said, he's on a heater of all heaters. He goes 3-for-4, 2 RBIs, hit a homer. D-Mac and Cheese, 2-for-4 with a double. Mr. Automatic. Six Golden Eagles scored at least one run. So we're spreading the wealth there. Everybody's getting in on the action. Everybody's playing hard. It's evident. There was times this year was where it was not as evident. I think we can just leave it at that, right?
Yeah, well, I watched a lot of the game up in the stands. My dad came into town. He is more of a fan of sitting than standing in the roof. So I got some good videos of those guys rounding thirds after the home run that we put out on Twitter. And he went down to the South Series in Mobile and saw us play really well on Saturday of that series. So I was pretty pumped that he got to see us play well again. So
pretty cool. When Matthew Russo, if Matthew Russo starts to hit a ton of balls into the right field roost, does it then just become the right field roost?
Oh, I like that. I wasn't ready, but here you go. There we go.
Oh, there it is. Nice.
We are getting a couple of comments in, so I want to make sure we don't get too far down before that. We had right field Rugrats said 30 SPF or 50 SPF sunscreen. So, a lot of those.
Whatever's days in the pantry.
Yep. And let's see, we're getting some over on Twitter as well that said a buzzard ball on Twitter said, I thought Russo played great defense this weekend as well. And Mustard Buzzard Bleacher Creature, I got that right the first time, said Gillespie has mustard trademark.
He's got something.
Yeah.
I wish I had some of it. Russo is the real deal at first base. That's kind of what got him in the game to begin with. Mm-hmm. We're just hoping with that frame and it just, it looked
high
like
baseball IQ.
Yeah, it looked like he could just, if he ever, you know, got going,
yeah,
he could do kind of what he's doing offensively too. So,
well, how many balls did he hit to the track this weekend? I mean, like an ounce of wind. I mean, there was so many balls he hit.
Sure.
Man. No, he wants that more than anybody.
Now getting back to the game, we mentioned that Mazza started this game again. He took over that Saturday role. He kind of did what Billy did, right? And followed it up. So he scattered seven hits and got through 6 2/3 innings pitched. That's what these guys have got to do. They have to go deep. You know, that's something that has to happen with our pitching situation at the moment. He gives up 3 runs, 2 of them were earned, 1 walk, 9 Ks on 113 pitches. Really did the job.
Mm-hmm.
Chandler Best, who I know you and I like this guy a whole lot. As the season's gone along, I've just gotten just more and more confidence in him as I feel like he's gotten more confident. He just looks more confident.
Yeah, he does.
Like, I'm going to grab the ball. The ball's, I'm about to throw it by you, right? There's no hesitancy up there. He goes an inning and a third, 1 hit, 3 Ks. What else do you want? 0 walks. Colby Allen threw an inning, 0 runs, 2 Ks. So gave up 8 hits, but the game was never really in doubt after that 5-run third. So it was another fun day at the Pete.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, I know one thing, you know, and we've said it multiple times throughout the season so far on here, but like, Oz expects those guys late just to come in and throw strikes. You know, he doesn't want the walks. They have short leashes if they throw a lot of balls out there. So it was really good to see those guys get strikeouts and get the ground outs and keep moving through those late innings.
Well, the pitch count has to stay down because we just don't have a lot of pitchers.
Right.
At this point, it's, you know, when you get into tournament play, especially, we're going to be leaning on a lot of guys who just haven't seen a lot of action so far this year. Right field Rugrats did ask a question here. Have we considered streaming on Twitch? That's a good platform. And that's a P-Lo question.
It is, but it's not the right demographic. I think the majority of our listeners, it would be a stretch to get them there. So appreciate the feedback, but.
Gotcha. Game 3 versus Coastal.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdest game ever. And we've been to a lot of games, but it was an early start at 11 a.m., which I found out late because of Coastal's travel situation. Like, there are 2 airports or something. And it was weird. Then there's a lightning delay, and we all know about these lightning delays. It's the most perfect weather of all time.
Yeah.
We all heard the rumble of thunder and went, oh, God.
Oh, no.
And not long after that, sure, we were in this lightning delay when the weather was better than it had been the entire day.
Yep.
Then
sun shining.
We come back out after about 45 minutes or so. It starts raining so hard that the rain is going sideways.
Yes.
But that's not a weather delay. We're out there just, I don't know how they're playing, but we're playing.
Yeah. No, our house is about 3 miles, maybe 2.5 miles from the Pete, but west of the Pete. So we had gotten out of church, and then as soon as I get home, I turn on, it says delay. And I'm like, what? It's not even raining. And I was like, oh, it had to have been lightning. And then, you know, I see that we're coming out of that and we start playing, and then at the house, it just, I mean, literally the bottom falls out. And I'm like, oh boy, this is heading right at the Pete. I'm like, they're probably going to get delayed again. But yeah, I don't know how they were still playing. There was one point where you could barely see from that center field camera. You could barely see the pitcher.
Well, I'm not positive how many people you can fit under one of those normal 10x10 tents. One of the ones we use for tailgating.
Gel max capacity.
We max capacity it.
Yeah. Out.
There were two ambulances.
Yeah.
Called to the Pete.
Uh huh.
But I think one before one of the delay, or one before the delay, and then another one in the stands. And both times, you know, the thing, I don't know. I'm not positive what happened in either situation. I do know one of the people that it happened to, but I'm not positive I can say that. So, yeah. But I hope everybody's okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we mentioned it already, but that crazy collision at first base
that
looked so unnatural. And then at the end, and obviously the ball beat him there. Run scored on the play. I thought we might lose. So I thought that he at least caught the ball, and then the ball rolled out of his glove once he went down to the ground thriving in pain. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, they let the run score. They didn't call the batter really out.
Strange.
And there wasn't an ejection. And there was a replay involved. So I don't know. I don't know what all happened. But I did see Nick riding through the Champions Parade yesterday in downtown Hattiesburg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which my son was a part of for going to the World Series last year with a 5-16. So we were like a couple floats behind the Southern Miss baseball team. It was a neat deal. It was fun to be a part of. But as Nick was going by, I was like, Nicky, how's the hip? And he just turned around. And he goes, getting better.
We'll take it.
Live reporting. And then, as if all of that wasn't weird enough,
mm-hmm.
we had that early finish after 7 innings because apparently no pitch could be thrown after 2:30. So yeah, it just added to the weirdness. Strange.
Yeah.
Of
yeah, and like I said, I was watching. It's hard to pass up at least one of the games if you can't be in the Roost to not listen to Baker and Russum and Chris Kirtland. But this, gosh, it's just so good. And they kept cutting the camera over to that clock that's over by the bullpen. And it would just kind of like, they were talking about the up, you know, the time. And so they just kept cutting to that. And I thought it was really cool of the broadcast to do that.
Eagles do get the 6-5 win. That completes the sweep. Our boy Hosey was down there swinging the broom.
Saw that picture. That was awesome.
Coastal to that point had lost 8 games in a row. That was crazy. Like I said, I believe that they won tonight. The Eagles led 3-0 through 4 innings, and it was tied at 3 in the fifth. And we kind of started freaking a little bit because mm-hmm. we knew about the 2:30 thing.
Yeah.
And then we had the delays that never should have been a delay. Right. But the Eagles did rally to your, like you brought up just a minute ago. The Eagles seemed to have this way to fight back. Stay in the middle of the ring, like Coach Barry used to always say, in the bottom of that inning with 2 to go up 5-3. So mm-hmm. right when they tie it up, we go up once again. Then Coastal scores 2 in the 6th to tie it at 5. Southern Miss with 1 in the 6th, courtesy of our buddy Gabe Broadus hitting a double.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then it was kind of over. And the reason it was kind of over is that pitching shut them down after that. So Boswell started 3 2/3, 4 hits, no runs. Ock got an out, then gave up 2 hits and 2 runs. Sively didn't have it. So he did one time this week. He didn't one time this week. Chase Adams got out of that inning. and struck out a guy. And then Colby Allen came in and just finished the job. Two innings pitched, four hits, two runs, two Ks. He's credited with the win. He goes, he's 2-7-2 on the season.
Yep. Love his energy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's turning into one of those guys, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to hear a lot out of, I think, moving forward. As far as Sutter Miss can progress postseason wise, he's going to be a part of it. Hitting wise, 9 hits on the day. Pratt 2-for-3. Shocker. Wilkes 2-for-3 with a double. That hidden streak, I believe, is at 21 games. You might have to double check me on that. It's something like that. Gillespie 2-for-3 with a double. Monastir was 1-for-2 before that dirty collision at first base. So, Pilo, I'll throw the floor to you. What were your thoughts on the season and how you feeling looking towards the rest of the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've checked all those boxes. I've been really high at points and thinking, all right, here comes another super and we're going to host a regional and all this. Yeah, I saw that. Not right now, Hinkle. And I've also been, you know, for me, I mean, I'm always kind of a glass half full person, but I have been down. I mean, I've just been like, okay, we're just going to have to chalk it up to a little bit of rebuilding and we lost a lot of guys and I've made all the excuses and, here we are, you know, it's a big, series that we had circled at the beginning of the year. We needed to win. We finally get the sweep. I mean, I know the second sweep of the year, but, they stepped up and it seems to have a lot of grit and fight in them. So, I love where we're at. Let's, you know, I think we talked about this before too. We've went on some win streaks, in March and April, you know, you kind of want to hit one in May and into June. So, let's keep riding the wave. We do have a request from Alive. It is, Sir James Johnson again. If we want to take that, I'll leave that up to you.
No, yeah, of course.
Okay, James.
Well, listen to James. I didn't have anything to do for the next 10 minutes, so hit it, James.
Let's see how this works. If I can. All right, James, I believe you are live. Roll with it.
Can you boys hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. I had a quick question, first of all. Is Nick Monastir okay? Because he got folded up like a lawn chair at first.
Nick is doing fine. Saw him on top of a fire truck yesterday. He looked okay.
He is okay. He needs to be careful because I tell you, my ribs would have snapped like a bunch of toothpicks if that happened to me. His knee hit him hard, and it looked like it was on purpose.
I agree.
No doubt.
It was a little dirty.
Yes, it was bad. It was real bad. Anyways, fellas, I wanted to address something that's been heavy on my mind. I was watching the game over the weekend, and I couldn't help but notice a bunch of the empty seats in the grandstands. And I was just wondering, you know, I was just wondering if you guys know what the deal is with the season ticket holders, because I'm seeing that they're selling them for the Ole Miss game for $300 a ticket. What can be done about this?
Buy a ticket. I mean, all the seats are sold out before the season even starts, right? So I would just buy a ticket. A lot of those, I know that I think we have what 7 of them. And we never go sit on them. We're always on the roost. But you want to have those tickets just in case. You're also able to go to the university and sell the tickets back, or you know, get not sell them back, but get points or something so yep. they can resell. I guess if somebody does have those tickets and they want to resell and try to scalp. I guess that's up to them, but I would think that would be just an outlier. I haven't tried to go look because we're always there, but if like 90% of them cost that much money, you know, I would just probably say next year when season tickets roll around, try to be one of the guys that gets them.
Well, that
and $200 for the season.
Yeah. Just to piggyback, I think a lot of the people that have some of those seats up in the stands are actually in the roost. So
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think we have like 7 just at our spot. I think there's 7.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. The season tickets from the roost, you have bleacher tickets and you're in the roost. So how does that work?
That's the ones that you buy. Or if you want
that
to.
That is like, crazy.
Yeah, well, there's always the option to go sit up there if you want.
But if you're in the roof, then the seat's not occupied.
I agree, which is why you see the empty seat.
Oh, man, that is crazy. It's crazy. I'm sorry, fellas. I took an Ambien about 10 minutes ago, and I'm getting foggy.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, James.
James, come see us in the roof.
Okay, Jared. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
See ya. That was great.
The show wouldn't be complete without a James update.
It would not. Class of 66.
But getting back to what we feel about just how the series went and what we're looking forward to. Yeah, these kids finally showed some fight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to go home. They've mentioned it in a couple of interviews. Like, they don't want to be sitting home in June. And I thought that was evident against a damn fine baseball team. Maybe they're hitting the skid right now, but Coastal's good. You know, Coastal, if they sneak into a regional somewhere, which they probably will, the RPI in the low 30s, I think, at this point.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Probably a little bit more room to grow there. They can get in and make some noise.
Right.
What does, looking forward, Pilo, what does Southern Miss have the rest of the way?
Yeah. So this weekend, obviously nothing this week, midweek wise, but we will be up in Jonesboro, Arkansas to play Arkansas State this weekend, the 10th through the 12th. That is interesting because I know graduation for Southern Miss is Friday as well. So of this week. So I know like this week is a lot of finals week for a lot of student athletes. So, and then after the weekend, hopefully a great weekend showing on the road this weekend, we are back at home for that Ole Miss series at the Pete on May 14th. And then after that, we will be, Texas State will be in town at the Pete Thursday through Saturday, starting May 16th. So, Ole Miss game on the 14th, and then 2 days later, we'll start the Texas State series. And then right after that will be the Sun Belt Tournament in Montgomery, May 21st through the 26th.
You know, this is the time of the year where a bunch of teams start to find reasons to cancel games,
mm-hmm.
RPI-wise, and Ole Miss did that and squeaked into the tournament of the year. Is this one of the times... I tell you what, if you can real quick, look up, go to Warren Nolan and look up RPI for Ole Miss. Is this a time where we should think about doing that? Not that we ever would. Oz wouldn't do it. It's not the Southern Miss way and all that. But is this a situation where maybe you would toss around that idea? Because I mean, the other games that we have remaining, the Arkansas State and the Texas State, even though I can't believe, I thought Texas State was going to be so much better than they are. But both of those series, it's almost a point to where if you don't,
mm-hmm.
If you don't, I don't, what, at least 4 of 6? At very minimum, you have to win both series, right?
Right.
RPI-wise, maybe 5 of 6.
Yeah.
To ask to sweep 3 weekends in a row, even though you might be the better squad, that's just a tall task.
But again,
what brought it up was RPI wise, and it sounds like I'm taking a crack at Ole Miss, but you know they did it. You know, everybody saw it, and even though the NCAA says they're gonna, you know, come down on you a little bit if you choose to go that route, and they're trying to deter teams from doing that. I mean, what are they gonna do?
I did want to add, Lounge, I'm glad you're here. I see that you're here. I saw that comment. Also, Attack Eagles is here. He did say that Ole Miss, Attack Eagles said Ole Miss's RPI is sitting at 25, so beating them obviously helps, and loss really doesn't hurt us. However, looking ahead this weekend, the Eagles are sitting currently at 42,
mm-hmm.
And Texas State is at a smooth 119, so got to take care of business this weekend.
Yeah. Mm. Can't cancel a conference series,
right? Yeah, can't not show up for that.
What is this? the linked thing there. What is that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm scared to click a link that somebody throws in there.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So yeah, looking forward to all of those and for that tournament in the Sun Belt. I've been near that stadium. I've never been in the stadium, but we did stay at an Airbnb or VRBO or whatever, right near the stadium when the Savannah Bananas were playing.
Yeah.
We played golf and at the Judge and whatever that Robert Chin Jones, those three.
Capitol Hill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we did that whole thing. And that VRBO was awesome. I mentioned it to Cooper this.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about it, but yet I still have not seen it yet.
So yeah,
just
that's I think that's gonna be a fun. And Montgomery is cool. The area where they have it, it's a neat setup. So I can imagine the conference tournament being very cool. Get us updated on the Sun Belt Conference standings, if you will.
Yeah, sure, love to. So let me get a little tunes while we do this. Give me a second. Mm-hmm. Let's roll the. All right. So sitting atop the standings is Louisiana. They are 18-6 in the conference, 34-15 overall. Right behind them is Troy sitting at 16-8. I know that they were really on a heater. I think they ended up losing their last game, though. Right behind them is the Golden Eagles at 15-9, along with Georgia Southern. So we're just a couple of games out of first, or out of second, one game out of second, a couple of games out of first. So behind that, behind Georgia Southern is App State, James Madison, Old Dominion's at 12-12, and everybody else is below 500. So, sitting in third, one four in a row. The other thing I see there is Georgia Southern has won 6 in a row. So they're right there with us. They're kind of trending the right direction. So
who do they have left? Do you know? Can you pull that up?
Yeah, I can pull that up.
While you're doing that, I will mention the comment that we have up right now from Attack Eagles. The new hats are 3-0. I've got one. I wish I had it on tonight. I don't. Wish I would have thought about that. The new hats are 3-0 also. Attackerson, it's also 2-0 in attendance. You're welcome. That's the little one.
Mm-hmm.
So very good there. Then Ole Miss is RPI is 25. Beating them helps and loss doesn't hurt. Well, that shows you how much attention I pay to Ole Miss.
So
Hinkler, we're throwing this stuff up. Met Gala, blah, blah, blah. And then the canceled Ole Miss game last year likely cost us a regional send-in from Crazy Eagle. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
Just like a lawyer school to find a loophole.
So Georgia Southern has Jacksonville tomorrow. The weekend they are playing Louisiana. So they will kind of actually hit.
So I guess we need the Cajuns to do good. Well,
yeah,
they're winning the conference. That sucks.
Yeah, it's kind of a, yeah, either one.
We're tied with them.
Right.
We can't win in that situation. Okay.
And we're then still they play App State the last weekend of the season. So who's right behind them? So, yeah, that's kind of tricky.
And then there's some interesting situations moving into the tournament with their single elimination games and then a double elimination tournament after that. They kind of, you kind of do a play in to eliminate a couple teams.
Right.
Which I like. That's another reason you want to be at the top of the Sun Belt, right? So correct. You can be in the best shape possible, especially with our pitching situation this year. But another thing on the baseball front before we move into softball and shut her down is that the Ferris Trophy for the best player in the state of Mississippi, best collegiate player, the finalists were announced today. So they are Brett Sanchez from Belhaven, Dakota Jordan from Mississippi State, Dalton McIntyre, D. Mac and Cheese from Southern Miss, Ethan Ledge from Ole Miss, and R.J. Stinson from William Carey. So I think Hattiesburg wins in that scenario. We got two of the five. Sure. Okay. So anyway, those are the five, and congratulations to all involved, but specifically, obviously, Dalton McIntyre, and a secondary shout-out to R.J. Stinson from right across town.
Yep.
Very cool. I hope that, you know, it's, I know there's a fan voting portion of it, and then scouts have something to do with it, which I don't understand. But anyway, it's nice to see that we have somebody on the list, because would it really shock you if we didn't? Like Tanner and I wasn't it last year.
Right.
With some of the best stats ever.
Yeah.
Or the year going back to Wallner. So Wallner was like first team All-American, but not first team USA or something, you know. Anyway.
Right.
Very funny. Leggett's in.
Hey, what up, Leggett?
He's probably sitting on a balcony in, oh, I don't know, Boston, looking over the harbor, eating some chowder.
That or he's in Gulfport.
One of the two. Still looking at the harbor.
He just hangs around harbors. Got to have a water on Harbor his back. Guy.
Softball, Pilo.
Yeah.
Get us caught up on some softball. Let's take a few more comments and questions. And
yeah, I know to kick it off, my lovely wife sent me a text today that said that Sunbelt had all conference team announcements or awards, I guess. We had two people. So Hannah Borden was first team. And Jaina Lee was second team. So congratulations to them to kind of kick off the little softball segment. So she wanted to make sure I got that into.
Well, I know we definitely mentioned their names like a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I see it a lot here in the notes. So softball sitting at 22-28, 10-14. The weekend we did lose 2 of 3 to South Owl, which pains me to say. Game one, lost 5-4, had the lead 4-3 through five innings. And I don't know, maybe we need a Marty Windham thing here, but I'd love to know how many games we had the lead in the fifth and the sixth inning and didn't come out with a win this season. We have had so many one-run losses this season. It's been really hard for the Lady Eagles to kind of close out games. So hopefully we can get that fixed in the offseason. I know we're not done yet. I know we will play in the tournament this season, but hope to get some additional arms on the roster this next season and be able to close out some games. But gave up 2 runs in the sixth, nothing doing in the seventh ball game. Logan Stepp takes a loss, moves to 4-7. Hannah Borden and Jaina Lee both homered. So yeah, exactly. And got 3 of 4 hits on the day for the Eagles. Jaina goes 2 for 3. Moving to game two, won this one 5-4. Only had 4 hits. Nat Taylor goes 2 for 3. Shelby Allen scores 2 runs. Jaina gets the man. I didn't know. I'm segmenting here, but I didn't know we had another burner account called the Coke sign. And apparently we do it at Pete Taylor Park. It's right. Just a picture of the sign. So I haven't seen that one. So that cracked me up. Thanks for joining the space. We'll see you. Let's see. Where was I? Jaina goes 4 2/3, gives up 5 hits, 3 runs, gets 3 Ks. She moves to 9-8 on the season. Brooklyn White with a save, her second of the year. It's a rubber match on, I guess, Sunday. Lost this one 6-0. South scores 2 in the second, third, and fifth inning. Lady Eagles only had 1 hit. So Stepp takes a loss. Lee and White both threw also. White looked good. She threw 4 innings, gave up 4 hits, and only 2 runs. Nat Taylor was 1 for 2. And nobody else ended up with a hit.
So what is softball looking like? I mean, I don't know. I like to say they're limping in, but we're doing all right. We're just, like you said, just can't really close out. So you're I feel better about getting close, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows if you make a little noise? It's a very top-heavy Sun Belt Conference as far as softball.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a lot of it this season. Well, I would say a lot, a good amount. And there are innings where we can string 4 or 5 hits together and really score some runs. And then there are some games where we really, really struggle at the plate. So it's just it's been a mix both at the plate and on the mound this season. So hopefully, you know, like we said, we can get into the tournament and maybe make a little noise and make a run. You never know. So, the Sun Belt standings. Oh, so next up for the Sun Belt tournament starts tomorrow, May the 8th. And Lady Eagles are playing James Madison at 4 p.m. On the standings, this is crazy. Louisiana sitting atop as well. They went 22-2 in the regular season, or in the, I'm sorry, in the conference, 40-16 overall. Followed behind Texas State, South Alabama, Coastal, Troy, Georgia Southern, James Madison, Monroe, Marshall, and then Southern Miss. So a little bit down toward the bottom of the list there for the Lady Eagles. But again, we are in the tournament. It is in San Marcos, I believe. And so at Texas State, and hopefully we'll get it going tomorrow against James Madison.
Yeah, 10-14, but really, I mean, only a couple wins away from being right in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
A long way to go to get towards the top of this, but
yeah, so yeah, those teams top, the top three teams in the right direction. Kind of are set apart, or really the top two. South kind of finished well, but yeah, got a little ways to get there, but yeah, I mean, just really four games out of fourth place, so
very good. Like to remind everybody that Mugshots has game day pictures of Miller Lite, Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, Yingling, and Sam Adams Seasonal. They also have shareable starters to order for the table. Happy hour deals from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock Monday through Friday, which is half off domestic well drinks and domestic draft and $3 snacks.
Yeah.
And they've been voted the best burger in Mississippi for 16 years in a row. I had one just the other day. You had one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cliff and Alfonso both had salad. So I was like, are we doing that?
Yeah. I would have liked to know that before I ordered. They didn't tell us, and they bring everything out.
I went chicken. I went chicken tenders that day.
Oh yeah, you did go. You went chicken tenders. I went burger, and they both come out with salads. And I was like, seriously?
Yeah, I was like, you don't want anything fried, you know?
And then I actually had it again over the weekend. And if you're like me, sometimes like I do love going out to eat, obviously. But there are times where Lisa's like, you know, let's just order in. Or kind of hang out, not really go anywhere. So I have to say we had an awesome experience this weekend. I'm a nitpicker for service and making sure these places, make sure everything's correct and are kind and everything is speedy and stuff like that to go. Cause I mean, there's lots of options, so we can kind of be picky. But man, the staff was friendly, nice. Order was perfect. Food was hot. It was great. So if you're looking for a great experience with lots of TVs and sports and great food, check them out. A lot of those oldie but goodies are still on the menu, the pizza burger and lots of cool stuff that you used to have. Go check them out.
Very good. Well, if there's no more comments out there, we will go ahead and proceed to get towards the end of this thing. I did want to mention that Coach Eddie Brescher from the Southern Miss men's golf team won the match play tournament out at Cambridge. So you can still play a lot. So he did very good there. Wanted to give, I guess that can be a shout out. Do you have any shout outs that you would like to do?
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to, oh gosh, I just went blank. I got to give a shout out to Nitro because he definitely willed us to some victories during the midweek and then on the weekend where he was pretty much threatened on his life that he had to be there all three games. So he was. We got the sweep. So there you go.
And Scott Berry's bobblehead has just chimed in saying Mugshots has ESPN Plus. If you had to follow along with that. It was lots of fun.
Shelby. That's
awesome. Did you see what the Podfather Jamie Arrington commented on that? He said like his favorite his favorite time at Sully's was watching a Southern Miss game. That's good. You don't know what I'm talking about. Go find
Okay, that totally went over my head, but actually I am I did get the whole spill on that, and bravo to them for their social posts they had. That's outstanding.
Very nice. I'll give a couple shout outs. Coop and Tink for the taco bar they set up on Sunday. They had like a Margaritaville machine to make them, and it was on point. Steve and Tabby came up from the North Shore and stayed with us over the weekend. Tabby had a ton of fun. She was like six innings late on Sunday. So lots of fun. Our boy Cliff Russum, right? We talked about we had lunch and my guy bought us lunch. So I don't know if that counts for when I was supposed to take you to lunch for losing.
It definitely does not count.
Wasn't planning on it, but you know.
Yeah, it worked out. We timed that perfectly.
And last but not least, happy birthday to the one and only Patrick Lowry.
Hey. Tomorrow. Had that queued up. Yeah, you know, it's really weird when these start happening as you inch toward 40. 40. Still not there for those listening. It's just another day. It just becomes another day.
Get some of that colonoscopy, friend. It's good times. Just ask
Can't
James.
Wait for that.
This episode was brought to you by Mugshots Grill and Bar, where they're always having a good time. Happy hour specials daily, and for a limited time, they're bringing back some of their oldies but goodies, so check them out soon. Go see our good friends at Mugshots in Hattiesburg today. Mugshots, delivering craveable food and personalized hospitality to friends and family in a place obsessed with sports. Thanks for listening in today, whatever day you might have listened, whichever platform you chose to listen in on. Remember, you can follow me at Bumper J Bailey and Patrick at P Lowry. And oh, before I get to, thanks to Coach Ladner. Let's not forget about that. Dude. That was awesome. So if you've been on the space tonight, before we finish it all out, before we recorded with Ladner, it'll be on the pod version of this. So you watch this, but there's still some stuff you missed, about, I don't know, 28 minutes or so. Anyway, go do that. It'll be out sometime.
Yeah, it'll be out. It'll be out in the morning. I'll make sure we get this. I know I've dropped the ball a little bit on some of these lives posting. So it will be the front portion of the podcast that is out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts tomorrow. So go check it out, because his interview was awesome.
And thanks for everybody who chimed in. Attack Eagles, Hinkle, Crazy Eagles, Stephen Leggett, Scott Berry, Redfield Rats, Hinkle. Crazy Eagle, everybody else involved, thanks for doing that. Remember, you can follow me at Bumper J Bailey and Patrick at P Lowry. Follow us on all the social at To The Top Talk, and don't forget about the mailbag, tothetoptalk@gmail.com, and get up in here with this, with talking.
Yeah, I know.
We got the board.
Been hearing about. We had one request tonight. All these people on the live. Come on, people. Right. Y'all know y'all want to talk.
Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Tell somebody To The Top today. And as always, Southern Miss.
To The Top
Talk.
I could play for Alabama, USC, or Notre Dame. You have lots of things to offer, but Southern Mississippi puts you all shame. I was born here in Hattiesburg, never ventured far away. When it comes to playing football, here in Eagle Heaven is where I'm gonna stay. I could play for North Carolina, Ohio State, or LSU. You play a good game of football, but Southern Mississippi, it's a whole lot better than you. When the football season is over and done, the fans here in Hattiesburg will be proud of what we've done. I could play for the Georgia Bulldogs, Florida State, or Tennessee, but I chose Southern Mississippi, and right here at home is where I'll always be. I could play for Alabama, USC, or Notre Dame. You have lots of things to offer, but Southern Mississippi puts you all to shame. I could play for
North Carolina, Ohio State, or LSU. You play a good game of football, but Southern Mississippi is a whole lot better than you. When the football season is over and done, all your teams with famous names will see we're number one. Ask Mississippi State. Ask Mississippi State.
Call Katie Case Bailey with Dunbar Real Estate for all of your real estate needs. Katie Case Bailey, Realtor Extraordinaire. Something to show, something to list, something to sell. Call today at 601-408-9980.